Welcome, everybody, to the Table Rush Talk Show. In this episode, I interview Diane Helbig, a growth accelerator who transforms small business owners and salespeople into master strategists. Diane shares insights on how to redefine sales processes, focusing on empathy and human connection. We discuss practical strategies for leveraging LinkedIn, understanding your ideal client, and breaking free from outdated sales tactics. Diane also reveals her approach to coaching and the importance of a flat hierarchy in business. This episode is packed with actionable advice for anyone looking to improve their sales strategy and business growth. Diane, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, fantastic. So LinkedIn, I was, you know, of course, checking you out on LinkedIn and all that, and you've got your title as Chief Improvement Catalyzer.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that how'd you come up with that, or what's that mean to you?
You know, I don't even remember how I came up with it. You know, for short, it's chick. So it was like having a little bit of fun with words, actually. But at some point I realized that really my job is to help people really grow and improve and do things better. And so I do serve as like a catalyst for them to be able to get past whatever's blocking them to where they want to go. Ooh, ow.
I like it. And HelbigEnterprises.com, is that the best place where everybody can find you?
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, good. So everybody, as you're listening and or watching, go to HelbigEnterprises.com and you can follow along with what we're talking about. Helbig Enterprises, H-E-L-B-I-G, Enterprises.com. And let's just dive into what do you do, or what's your favorite thing to do? Let's start there.
What's my favorite thing to do? Gosh. I'm going to say I have two favorite things to do, if I can say that. So one is I love working with a small business owner who is struggling with something and is totally open to trying things a little differently to see, you know, just to get through whatever that challenge is. That I love that. That is so much fun, because when those little light bulbs go off over their head, there's almost nothing like it. The other thing that I really love is training people. So yeah, put me in a room full of people and let me train them on something. I love it all day long.
And what are you training about? Anything, or just throw me in the mix? Let me add it. Go ahead.
I swear to God, almost. Yeah. So sales is obviously one of my favorite things to train. But I really like the soft skill stuff, like dealing with difficult people and empathy in the workplace, leadership, customer service, those sorts of human connection sort of trainings.
How often are you out there training?
I am out there training almost once a week, actually.
Wow. And this is for clients that you've got, small businesses, things like that.
You know, the training actually varies. It's usually small or mid-size, because when it comes to training, you know, it doesn't really matter the size of the business. The advising, I like to do with small, really short hierarchy organizations. But with the training, it can be pretty much any size. I'll either do a department, or I'll do the managers, or, you know, all the leaders in an organization. Just depends.
So let's start with working with small business owners. Okay. Generally speaking, you're helping them. Where do you start with them, I guess, would be my question. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So typically they come to me because of one of a couple of things. Either they're not growing their business fast enough, like they just can't seem to get prospects to say yes. Or they don't have a process, they are afraid of selling, whatever that is. Or they have a lot of clients, they're very successful on that end, but they're working their tail off and they don't have systems and structure in place to really make sure they're being as efficient as possible. And so things are falling, into the grate, right? Into a manhole. And so we sit down and we create those strategies. Sometimes they need to hire. And so they want me to help them figure out what they're looking for, where to look, help them interview people. Sometimes they just want, one of my clients said to me once, "What is this Pinocchio thing that you do?" Or no, Jiminy Cricket. Sorry, Pinocchio, right? Jiminy, what is this Jiminy Cricket thing that you do? And I was like, wow, that's sort of weird. Like, I never thought, Jim, let your conscience be your guide. But I really do. I sort of sit. I have a client right now that says, "You sit right here on my shoulder and you just tell me these are the things I need to get done." And it's that sort of accountability thing, right? And having that ear, because it's lonely at the top. And you don't, there's things you don't want to talk to your staff about, but you got to talk to somebody about it. So, it's being a sounding board. It's offering suggestions and ideas and questioning things, just being that partner.
Would you say a coach or no?
So I used to, and it was actually in my company name at the time. And I took it out because I went through coach training and I don't follow coaching practices specifically. So my clients, these small business owners, coaching is about self-discovery. And while my clients self-discover all the time, they can't wait to go through a long process of self-discovery. They need answers now. They need direction now. Their business needs it now or yesterday. And so a lot of times, I am giving them advice. I am saying, "Have you considered this? Or how about doing this? Or what about this system? Have you," that sort of thing. So do they get to, eventually being on their own? Yeah, absolutely. But it's not that only questioning guidance sort of thing. It's more, okay, look, I know business. This is, you're heading into a minefield or, so it's not
Yeah.
total.
Yeah, and lots of strategy and tactics. Some actionable business strategy and tactics.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
So what does small business mean to you? Like what, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I do it by people. So I would say 500 people or less. Like, I don't care how much money they're making. I deal with a lot of micro businesses, so 1 to 5 people. And I mentioned this earlier, the hierarchy has to be flat. So it's got to be the owner and their leadership team, and then there's everybody else. So then there's all the workers. So
Yeah, and why do you, that's interesting that you say that. Why is that? Why do you like the flatter hierarchy?
because I have found that the deeper the hierarchy, the harder it is to affect change. So,
Can you give some examples? Like maybe
sure.
give, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you have an organization that's got the C-suite and then VPs and then managers and directors and supervisors and crew leaders, whatever. And there are so many layers that all you need is one person somewhere in there who doesn't buy in, and you cannot get anything done. Where with a really flat organization, it's the owner, maybe two or three other people, maybe, right, involved, and that's it. And so everyone else is doing their thing, but it's these people who really know we need to do things differently. We need to have an open mind. We're going to have to get vulnerable. We're going to have to try some things. And they're all on board because there's not that many of them.
Yeah. When you are talking to a small business owner, and let's start with the not growing fast enough, so they can't seem to get prospects to say yes, or they're afraid of selling. I guess another way that I hear that would also be they can't break through their sphere of influence to more outside sales, perhaps, right? How do you work with someone like that, or what are you telling them, or do you have a process for that to help them increase their sales, or talk to me about that?
So I'll say yes, it's a yes and no whether I have a process or not. So I don't have a very specific plug you in and you're going to be successful like all of these other sales training things because I don't believe that. So what I do is I sit down with them, ask a lot of questions, and I listen for what they're telling me and what they're not telling me because it gives me an idea of what they're doing well, what they're doing incorrectly, what they're not doing. You know, it just gives me a whole picture of what's actually happening with their sales, with the whole process. And then together, we create a process that they will actually implement. And we will start like at the very beginning of defining their ideal client and looking at their current client base and where did those people come from or those businesses come from. And so let's repeat what works and let's not do what doesn't. And so, you know, and we go through all of the things we were taught in the 80s that really don't work, that are really horrifying, and to get them to realize, don't. You just don't. I'm gonna free you from that. If you don't like selling, great. Just don't do it. So it's a different mindset and it's more comfortable, it's more natural. They like it, but then they have to actually try it and implement and learn word usage and, you know. So process.
Yes, yeah, so having to unlearn what they were taught in the 80s implies my age group, perhaps you're dealing with a lot of people perhaps in their 50s, 60s, something like that. Yeah.
But even the younger ones have watched that. If you've bought a car, you have experienced 80s sales. So even younger people, actually younger people, a lot of them are just afraid to even try because they don't want to be sleazy, salesy, pushy, fill in the blank, right? They don't want to be any of those people. So they won't even try to walk in the door.
Yeah. So interesting. The car business is trying to change, but it still has a lot of those old sales tactics, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So what kind of questions are you asking? Again, let's talk about the person that's trying to grow or perhaps stuck at a certain size, and they're nervous about selling or what happens. What kind of questions are you typically asking to start the conversation and figure out where they are?
So I will ask them to share with me what their target audience is. Do they know what their target audience is? What have they been doing, and what do they feel has worked and hasn't worked? Usually, they will say networking works and doesn't work, right? It's a whole thing. Then I will ask them what their goal is. Like, what are they looking to do? What kind of growth do they want? Do they have a sense of where their current clients came from? What an ideal client actually looks like? And do they have a sense of the value of their product or service as their client sees it? So I will probably not even ask that at first. I'll just say, okay, why do people buy from you? And listen to what they say. So a lot of times people think they know why and they don't. They're thinking about it from their perspective, why they're selling it. They're not thinking about it in terms of the actual value that it brings to the other person. So it gives me an idea of what we need to work on.
Yeah, I'd love this and where we're going, and I'd like to dive more into keep going with the questions that you're asking, but also about what are the answers that you're hearing. Right? Does that make sense?
So One of the answers I get from almost everybody when I say, what is an ideal client for you? I get, well, anybody who fill in the blank, right? Which always reminds me of the old Mary Kay lady who used to say, anyone with skin is a perfect, prospect. It's like, no, they're not, but okay, this is what you want to believe. So, or they'll say, well, everyone can use what I have to sell it. And when they say that, what it tells me is they have no idea what a target market looks like for them. And they are trying to sell to everybody, which is why they're getting nobody. It's very telling by the way people respond. When I ask them about what's the value that they bring, they know to a certain extent, but they don't go deep enough. So that also gives me an eye into, okay, we need to get to what is that actual pain point? What is that, what is it actually doing for them? Because the surface level is easy, but you can't sell to the surface. So, I gotta see where they are. And usually it's relatively surface or it's vague. A lot of
Okay.
people, it's vague. I don't, they think they know, but then when they open up their mouth, it's not anything you can really land on.
Yeah. So you are helping, typically sounds to me like someone who's struggling with growth in a sales sense, maybe growing their revenue, breaking past again that first layer of your sphere of influence sales, right?
And can I give you an example? Because I
Yeah,
talked to a woman
please.
yesterday, because when we talk about influence, I talked to a woman yesterday who I had met a couple weeks ago. I said, just sign up for a 30-minute comp session, tell me what's going on. So we get on the phone and she tells me, she's totally open. She tells me everything and she says, so I asked her questions, who's your target? She tells me one of her targets. And I said, and why? It was interesting. She said what the target was and why. Which was great because most people don't finish that sentence, right? So I said to her, how active are you on LinkedIn? And she said, well, I'm not really. And I said, well, I'm going to share something with you. Go on to LinkedIn in the search, put in that sort of organization that you're looking for, that industry. And when people come up, you're looking for the ones you are a second connection to. And so figure out who the first connection is and reach out to them and ask them for an introduction to whoever that person is. And she said, wow, that's amazing. What do I say? What do I, say to tell them? And I said, tell them you'd just like to talk to them because you think you might have an additional revenue source for them. Because she white labels one of the things that she does. And so I said, just say to them, I'd like to learn more about what's going on with them and see if this is something that we should explore further. You're just looking for the conversation. And so, that was amazing for her. She never would have thought of it. We were literally on the phone for, I think, 10 minutes. It's just like, okay, just go do this. But she knew what her target was. And she had told me one of the things that she does. She hadn't done the connection that that was an additional revenue stream for them. So when I said it, that was an aha for her. She went, wow, I'd never thought of it that way. It's like, well, that's how they're going to think of it. What, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing. So you said to her, if I'll recap here, you said go to
Sure.
LinkedIn, put in your target audience so that organization or whatever it is that that profile in two or three words, and then all your second connections, see who the first connection is, and then go to the first connection and ask, would you make an introduction? And then if I heard you correctly, you said, well, her question was, how do I re what do I ask the first the my first connection so that then they'll make the recommendation? And you said, just be straightforward. Say, hey, I think I can help them. I've got an idea for them. I just want to assess their situation. Is that
And I just want to have the conversation. And I said to her, you can say to the person, I'm not going to try and sell them anything. I just want to learn about what they're doing, what's going on with them, see if this is something that would fit with what they're currently doing and if it makes sense to them. Because that's really what, sales is connecting a solution to a problem. It's not trying to convince somebody that they need something they don't need, which is
Yeah.
also unlearning something from the 80s.
Yes. I think what's so interesting about sales, or the way I look at it, is you think that the buyer is pre-qualling me, the seller, but really what I'm doing is I'm asking the questions, trying to qualify you.
Yes.
Right? Like
Yeah,
I'm trying
you're
to
both
figure.
doing it, right?
Yeah.
It's like a dance
Yeah.
because you're going to get married,
Yeah.
basically, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be in that relationship for a long time. So are you going to want to be with this person or this company or whatever for the long haul? Because that's what it's going to
Yeah, and I also think time-wise too, right? It's like, hey, can I help us cut to the chase quicker? Being the sales guy offering my product, I
Yeah.
want to know, hey, do I actually think I can help you? Because I'm here to serve and to help, right?
Right,
And
right.
then B, let's maybe we can figure out that quicker for both our sakes. So you can
Yeah.
you can go do what you need to do and I can do what I need to do, right?
Exactly. Right. It's either going to be a thing or it's not, right?
Yeah.
So let's just have a conversation and start the process.
Yeah, I love it. So, back to your lady or person who
Yes.
you had this conversation with yesterday. Did you say, did I hear you correctly? Or when I'm going to that first contact, would I say what service I'm looking to perhaps provide?
She asked me the same question. It's so interesting. She asked me something. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Unless you have something to hide, in which case, just stop and let's not. Why wouldn't you? Like, right? Because it helps them connect the dot. Because really, what you're saying to them is, and the way I like to phrase it is, would you feel comfortable introducing me to John? We are white labeling this product. A lot of agencies, it's an agency thing. A lot of organizations like his have found that really valuable. And I just want to talk to him to learn more about what he's doing. And if this is something that fits with his goals and process. And if
Yeah.
not, great. I've learned something, maybe made a connection. So you see, it's all in how what our goal really is. And our goal is just to have a conversation. It's not to make a sale.
Yeah, I love that. And then if you can quickly and eloquently explain to your first contact, hey, this is what I'm up to, this is how I can serve, this is
Right.
how, in a relatively short time, where
Yes.
that first contact can see the value and go, heck yes, I'd love to.
Right. Because it makes sense to them. Right. And
Yeah.
they may say, no, I've had people say, that's not the person you want to talk to. I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be a waste of your time. Okay. That's still valuable information. I still know. But usually they say, absolutely, because you've built that trust with the first connection. And if they have a trusting relationship with that other person is going to be open to meeting with you because they trust the person who's introducing you.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking too is side benefits of this are the person that first contact, you're going to, say, hey, this is what I would like to talk to Mr. Second Contact about. Would you make the introduction? The first contact is likely sometimes to go, well, I need that. I didn't know you'd do that.
Right? Or I know other people who might be interested in that. Right? And
Yeah.
the other side benefit, there's so many side benefits. I'm so glad that you said that. Another side benefit is now the person, the first contact gets an opportunity to do something really great for two of his contacts, right? Which just elevates him in both of their minds and hearts because he did the connection. He was willing to help both of them problem solve. So it's huge.
I love it. I love it. I've been diving into LinkedIn more over the past few months. I had effectively ignored LinkedIn for years, and so I'm all in on it now.
Good.
And I think too, as a creative, so a creatives perhaps, or it's like Facebook, Instagram, all the more of your traditional social networks. But I think that LinkedIn's really an awesome place to serve. That's the nice way to say it, or ripe for the taking is another way to say it.
There's a the real value of LinkedIn, in my opinion, is the connection matrix. It's why Microsoft bought them. It is the absolute connection matrix that LinkedIn has figured out that makes it easy to get you in front of the people you need to be in front of if you just do certain things, but also the opportunity to connect to your target audience or resources or whatever it is. I mean, I could tell you a million stories just about the value of LinkedIn connecting people to resources that they need.
You said something interesting, which I don't want to let slide by. You said can help you, grow, make connections, da, 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 all these collateral benefits that you just listed if you do a few certain things.
Yeah, you gotta do something. It's true. Yeah. So,
Okay. Yeah, go
but
tell
are
me.
they? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the first one is you have to connect to people who you actually know. So what I tell people is take 20 minutes every week or every other week. Doesn't have to be really frequent because you have to give LinkedIn time. Go to network. And it will show you people you may know because it's taking all the stuff in your profile and it's finding other people that have some of the same stuff. And so just go through that list. And if it's someone you know, connect with them. Now, the weird thing about LinkedIn is that if you have to write them a note to tell them why you're connecting with them, so you don't know them so well that they're going to get it, you have to go to their profile to connect with them. You don't want to do it right from that thing because it'll just shoot it off and that they might not respond. Okay. That's the first one. Second one is make sure that your profile is keyword rich and that your headline doesn't say VP of marketing because no one cares, what your title is. And LinkedIn's going to pull it from your work experience. So it's going to populate it automatically. But you want to go in and put in words that have to do with your area of expertise. Because Google will then find it. Because, they're all searching each other. And here's a big one. Under education in your profile, put your high school, regardless of how old you are. Because unless you were a total jerk in high school, the people you went to high school with automatically trust you because you have a shared life experience. It's just a thing. Okay. And that's what we're looking for, the people who we trust and who trust us. And everyone knows what, 250 people, which these days it's probably more like 400.
Yes.
But if you want access to those people, you have to be connecting with the people you went to high school with. So if you put your high school in, LinkedIn will help you make that connection to those people. So then you can connect with them one to one. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I do. I just had a question and it slipped
Yeah.
away, but it was about connecting. Oh, it was a good one. I hope it comes back.
Connecting with people you already know,
Yep.
high
Yeah, connect.
school.
Yep, high school, obviously college.
Yes.
So as I've been playing with LinkedIn and I go, oh, there's people I know, but perhaps we're disparate, completely disparate or different areas of expertise or work or totally different. Like I'm in sales and marketing and podcasting, and this person's in coding, And I'm like, well, why? But it sounds like what you're telling me is yes, connect.
Yeah, I'll tell you why, because you don't know who they know. So, unless you are living in the house you grew up in with all of the people you grew up with in your neighborhood still, which is pretty rare. I mean, some people do it. It's pretty rare. And you're working, you know, this just doesn't happen anymore. People travel, they live someplace else, gather new friends. You don't know who their neighbor is, their husband or wife is, who their children are, who they go to church with, who they're on the PTA with. You have no idea who they know. So when you connect with someone you know, then when you're searching on LinkedIn for things, that person's going to be that first connection who's connected to the second who you want to meet.
Yeah. I think too, I'm thinking, I love your very tactical vision of LinkedIn where you're literally like, hey, I'm looking for direct reaching out to people, right? And so, and that's how I'm trying to maximize the connection network of LinkedIn. What about as a place to be found? So I want to connect with as many people as possible. Maybe I'll be found. Yeah, go.
Okay. So these are the other things you need to do. You need to post updates that are what you're trying to do is get people to engage with you, the people who are already in your network to engage with you. So it should be something compelling. Or at least interesting. You can ask a question. You can do a poll. You don't have to post a lot with LinkedIn. That's the other nice thing about it. You could do twice a week, and you'd be fine. Just make sure it's something in your orbit, and so it's something, and that you're just sharing information. You're just educating people, right? You're a giver. You can also post articles on LinkedIn, which LinkedIn loves, and it will put your article in front of people who have said they have an interest in that topic, who you have no idea who they are. So it puts you in front of total strangers that it would be difficult for you to get in front of them any other way. So,
Post articles. Tell me about that. I'm not, what does that mean? Is that literally go to post article?
So write an article or write a blog post because you can repurpose content as well, as long as you say where it was posted first. So let's say you have a blog post, or let's just say you have a blog post. Then when you go to LinkedIn and there's that status update box, it'll
Okay.
say write article. So if you click on that, it takes you to what used to be called LinkedIn Pulse. It still
Okay.
shows up as Pulse. It's just not called that anymore. And you can put a headline in, you can put an image in, you can just copy and paste the whole thing. Just say where it was, before. Use hashtags and publish it on LinkedIn.
So you could take somebody else's blog post, somebody else. No, no,
No.
no. Okay. No. You're saying rewrite it and give credit. Is
No,
that? No,
I'm
no.
saying
Okay.
take one of yours.
Okay.
So you can repurpose your own content.
Okay.
So good questions. You never want to take someone else's stuff and post it unless you're posting a link to it and you're sharing your thoughts on it and you're giving total attribution to them. Okay. You could take a little clip of something and say, I read this in the New York Times, or according to Gartner, this, that, and the other thing, with the link to whatever that article was, and then you share what your thoughts are, right? Because what you're doing is you're trying to share your knowledge with people so that they see you as credible, as a thought leader, as someone who's giving them information, but who knows what they're talking about, and that it's yours, it's genuine, it's authentic. They get an idea of who you are. And
Yeah.
they decide whether they want to keep you around or not.
So, why the importance of, I guess, backlinking? Maybe I'm saying this right. If you have
LinkedIn.
your own blog post that you wrote over here and it's on your website, and then you're basically taking that article or that blog post, turning it into an article on LinkedIn, why reference the the original
Where it was
location.
originally,
Yeah.
because Google doesn't like duplicate content. And so it will only give value to the first place it knows of that content being, unless you say this was, previously published on, over here, whatever, with a link. So now Google knows that you know that that's the same content you're putting out there and that it has equal value.
Awesome. And do you do this now and then with yourself?
Yeah.
So somebody could go, hey, I want to see what Diane's talking about, and go to your LinkedIn profile. Diane Helbig, I'm assuming, is what it is. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't have it in front of
It
me.
is.
And they could see how you've done that with an article if they wanted to tactically.
They could see, so when they go to my profile, it's gonna have a place where they can either click posts or articles. So they could
Yes.
click on articles and it's gonna bring them a list of articles that I've put on LinkedIn. And some of them have also previously were on my blog.
Perfect. So we could see a literal example of how to do it.
Yeah.
So if, because me, I'll overthink things. I'll hear just what you said, and my brain will go to 40 different ways to do the simple thing you just said to do. And so if I go see your example, I'm like, oh, it's literally just what she said.
Literally. Yes.
What are your other favorite things about LinkedIn?
Okay. Shoot, I was thinking of one. Oh, I know what it is. So you also want to spend just a little bit of time, maybe 10 minutes a day or every other day, whatever, scrolling through your feed and commenting meaningfully on the posts that the people you are connected to are putting out there. So if they put a link to an article, go read it real quick and then come back and comment. Because just liking or saying, wow, that's great, doesn't do you a whole lot of good. LinkedIn's looking for like several words. It's looking for meat, pretty much. The other thing that people do that's very effective is post something and then be the first person to comment. You don't have to be the first, but you can be. But comment tagging people who you think might be interested in what you just put in there. Because they'll get notification from LinkedIn that they were tagged, that someone was talking about them. And they'll go into their notifications and they'll see, they'll click on it, it'll take them to whatever that commentary is. And so then they'll weigh in. So then that puts you in front of their connections. See what I
I
mean? It's sort of a
do.
weird.
I do. I love it. So you're writing your comments. So I see a post by Diane, and perhaps you're talking about outdated 80s sales strategies, and I go, oh, this is a great post you've done. Check out the article. And I go, you're right. Spin selling as a book is totally outdated. I have no idea if it is. I can't even, I read it, but I can't even remember what the content was. But it was funny. I was talking to a mentor the other day, and I'm like, how am I going to spin this? So maybe spin selling was more
Maybe.
in. So I know. But anyway, I could comment on it, and I could go, would I go at or hashtag at
If
John?
you were commenting on it, you wouldn't even have to.
But if I'm going to
Oh,
tag
you would
somebody.
at symbol. If you wanted to bring someone else into the
Yeah,
conversation,
yeah.
you would at symbol. And you
Cool. So
start writing their name, and their name will come up, and then you just click it, and then, yeah.
then I go, I'd go, awesome. At John, we were just talking about this.
Yes.
And then,
Yes.
damn
And
that.
then John sees it and says, oh, yeah. And then comments, and then.
Yeah. Okay, I love it. What else do, what else, what else, what other favorite things about LinkedIn or
Let's see. LinkedIn now has a feature section on the profile. So you can feature, like if you've written a book, you can feature that there, which is great. Oh, I know what it is. When I learned this recently, when you post on LinkedIn, if you use three hashtags, then when LinkedIn goes to publish it, it will include the hashtags in the URL. So, like when people are searching for things on the internet, that's what you want. You want them to find you. So, the more content rich your profile is and the more you're posting meaningful, relevant information and using hashtags, the more LinkedIn's going to help you be seen.
Cool. So you in the posts and or comments and or whatever, however you're interacting with LinkedIn, make sure to use hashtags as often as you can remember. Three hashtags. No need to do
Magical
more
of
than
three.
three.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, don't do more than three.
Okay.
That's Instagram.
Okay. Dang it, a thing that now I've been posting way too many hashtags on LinkedIn.
Darn
Oh my God. Live and learn. Now I know. I'm probably flushing red right now.
it. All those programs are not the same, you know. They all have their own little rules, but
Drat. Well, and you use, you know, I use some scheduling tools that will create hashtags for you. And
yeah.
unfortunately, a lot of them are just one size fits all. So they're not tactically doing hashtags per the platform. Right. So I'm even thinking
Right.
I use Opus Clip a lot, or Opus, what's, yeah, it's Opus Clip. You can go to opus.pro, but it repurposes long form video content into shorter content
Nice.
pretty well. And then you can schedule your clips across the platforms, but it just spits out, you know, 10 or 15 hashtags per. It would be great if it just did three for LinkedIn.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Have you ever
And
used Cast Magic?
no.
I use Cast Magic. It's great
Okay.
because it gives you, it's all AI and it gives you, it'll give you a LinkedIn post, a Reels, a newsletter content, and it takes all of it from the transcription of the episode.
Love it.
It's great.
And it's called Cast Magic.
Cast Magic. Yeah.
Cool. You know, I do a ton of interviews, and oopsie, I just deleted something on it. I do a ton of interviews, so I'll take this interview, obviously, and create a bunch of content, and I can schedule it, you know, with things like Opus Pro or Cast Magic. Do you know of a program out there that creates the content that I can deliver to you, so then you can schedule it? You know what I mean?
I do
It's
know what you mean. Well, I don't. I feel like I should. Do you use Headliner?
No, I'll check. It sounds like another one I need to check out.
Maybe.
It's funny. I just was checking that out today, actually. And why was I checking it out? Oh, I listened to a podcast on the Podbean podcast, and I was talking about Headliner as a good tool. I think it does what Cast Magic is doing. But I'll just put check Headliner.
I know
I
it
just made
does
a note to check
little
Headliner. Yeah.
video clips. Are you going to Podcast Movement in
No,
August?
I should.
You
Where
should.
is it? This
It's in
it's not
DC.
in DC. I got time to in August. Maybe I
In
will.
August.
Yeah. I'm gonna make another note here. Podcast Movement in August. Get there. So let's go back to LinkedIn, and oh, you had said when you post, if you use three hashtags in the URL, did I hear that right? What do
If
you
you
mean in
use
the
three
URL?
hashtags in the post,
Oh, in the post.
LinkedIn will put those words in the URL.
Okay. Got it.
That's what someone, a LinkedIn expert told me recently.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Any other favorite hashtag strategies that you're applying or you saw or think that are good over and above what we've talked about? I mean, you've delivered a ton, so.
I mean, video is king or queen. So the more video you can do, the only thing you have to remember is LinkedIn wants people to stay on LinkedIn, just like Facebook wants people to stay
Yeah.
on Facebook. So If you can do LinkedIn lives, do them because they live right there. It's sort of weird. People aren't necessarily going to watch them live, but that content will stay, on LinkedIn. So that's another reason to write articles on LinkedIn, because it keeps people there. And I also learned, which I have not done yet, but I also learned from someone that the new LinkedIn newsletter is a good way to draw people. So,
Yes, and I'm already doing a newsletter, so I'm like, why am I not? I'll get that in the queue to just publish it there too, right? Especially as I'm growing right now. I've gone from, I don't know, 550 to 850, followers, connections. So that's fun. I'm,
good. Yeah.
yeah, right. But
Yeah.
I'm th I've been thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, when you now when somebody requests a connection or follows you, they automatically get recommended your email. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta do that ASAP. I want to dive back into a little bit of what you do, but I think people could get an idea, right? Because they're gonna have awesome LinkedIn conversations with you about how to grow their business if they're stuck, right? But maybe, I mean, AI is all the rage. So you want to give me 5 minutes on how you're using AI or favorite AI tools or your opinion or doom is on the way or.
That's the end of the world as we know it. So AI is here to stay, and my understanding is that it's been here since the 70s. So it's not like it's new, it's just new to us because we didn't really quite see it so in our face. I use Cast Magic on my podcast, which is all AI. It creates great content. I use ChatGPT every once in a while, but only for marketing messages, because I'm not good at coming up with good marketing stuff, and ChatGPT is great at it. So, like, I write my own articles, I write my own all that, but I defer to them for doing those things. What else do I use? I feel like I use Auphonic. I'm not sure that's AI. I use Vista Social to post my stuff on the platforms, and it has an AI component. I don't think I'm using it right now because I'm plugging in my own. That's probably it. Probably just those two. I feel like there's something else I'm using, and oh, well. I guess this is AI. In Outlook, I use Boomerang so that I can schedule emails to go later, which is really valuable, especially over the weekend. So I can go ahead and do them, but they don't go over the weekend. They go on Monday. So.
Love that. I think you said such an interesting comment about AI as well, in
Which
that
one?
well, it was that so many of us are like, AI is new, but in reality, they've been working on these processes, like you said, since the 70s. And I think generative AI is maybe what's really most front and center new to
Yes.
everybody, where we can. It's like search on steroids, and that's why it's so powerful, right?
Yeah.
Is we can get super constructive responses
Yes.
versus fed advertising,
Right.
right?
Right. It
I
gives
think
us
that,
information. Yeah.
yeah, I was just one of the people I gentleman I just interviewed. What's his name? Gosh, I can't remember. I literally just interviewed him earlier, but super savvy. But we were talking about how, everything is just getting named AI when it's like, oh, the process has already been in place, but now it's like AI. Right?
True, right? I know. Well, because aren't we just assuming everything is AI, right? I mean, yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a few minutes on your history, or if you wanted to talk about your book. I mean, you clearly are super knowledgeable, have a passion about selling and the selling process and networking and connecting in an authentic way, which I think is great. So you're in your happy place, it seems,
Yes.
with what you do. You want to
Yes.
just talk more about that a little bit, or?
So I would love to talk about the book actually, because it is a passion project of mine. So succeed without selling, which is usually when people say to me, how can you succeed if you don't sell? And my response is, I'm talking about selling like we've been taught for 40 some odd years. And my belief is that we should be curious and we should always be in curious mode instead of sales mode, because it's much more valuable for the growth of our business and for our reputation and everything. So I wrote the book because I it's been frustrating to watch people continue to engage in behaviors that do not get them what they want, but they're not changing what they're doing. Right? Like they'll blame the prospect or they'll blame the person at the networking event or whatever. And they won't stop and go, okay, wait a second. What's the common denominator here? It's me. Right? And therefore, it is these things that I am doing that someone somewhere told me was what I should be doing. It doesn't work. And so what I wanted was just to say, listen, different mindset, different method works like a charm because it's easier, it's more comfortable. You will actually do this. And I like spilled everything that I think about selling in here. There's chapters for sales managers, direct sellers. Friends and family are not a target market. You know, could we stop? Just, this is probably my whole thing. Just stop. Just don't. It's so, unless you don't want to have Thanksgiving with people, you know, I just, so bad. So this is my goal. People just have to. I'm on a mission to just fix this because it's so awful. So anyway, and then there's forms in the back that I talk about, like there's scripts and forms and things. And then they're on my website. People can go to my website and download them and hopefully use them. So.
Awesome. And again, the website where they can go get the scripts and things is hellbigenterprises.com.
Yeah.
And give me some examples of things that are from the 80s selling wise, or what we are taught
Okay.
that, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Walk in 40 doors a day. Terrible concept. Really stupid. So there's activity and there's productivity. That's activity. It is not productive. Make 40 phone calls a day. That's another one that is ineffective. Go to a networking event and get as many business cards as you can. Well, unless you're wallpapering a room with them, I don't know why you're doing that because you don't even know who those people are. So it looks good and your boss thinks you did a great job, but it didn't get you anywhere. It's so crazy. Convince people that they need what you have to sell. Don't take no for an answer. When you go to a networking event, use an elevator pitch or commercial, which I am going to just relieve everyone of that and say, you cannot sell anybody in 30 seconds. All you can do is annoy them so they don't want to be around you anymore. And you know it because they're annoying you. Stop talking. This is my other thing. The more you're talking, the less people are listening. And you know it because you're not listening. It's like, don't ask somebody, what do you do? That's another one. It's a terrible question because people are going to tell you what they do and go back to, you don't care. You don't. You care about why they do it and the value that it brings to other people, but you don't care about how many letters they have after their name or how many years they've been with the firm they're with or the mechanics of it. You just you don't you know we have this really weird concept that these are we're supposed to be slick and whatever. When you're in a sales conversation, do not start talking. Pull out your presentation and do a dog and pony show, because go back to the more you're talking, the less they're listening, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Your job is to ask questions and really listen to the answers and go deep and learn as much as you can before you ever say anything about your product or service. So, there's probably more. Don't do the trial close. Everyone knows the trial close. It's so crazy. Don't, at the end of the month, give a deal you wouldn't give at the beginning of the month. Your product or service is worth something. There is a value to it. It doesn't change because you have quota to meet. So those are the ones off the top of my head that I can think of that we were taught in the 80s.
That's amazing.
Listen,
Oh my
I was
God.
there. Do you remember? So back in the day, I used to sell copiers, which is close to used cars. But before I sold them, I was the director of operations for a company. And you know how they used to sell copy machines? They used to wheel it into your office. The sales guy would take it off of a truck, wheel it into your office, and say, "Hey, I'd like to just leave this here for 3 days and let you use it. And then I'll come back and we can talk about how great it is." Thanks.
The
Exactly.
boat anchor.
Right? It is so stupid. It's like, what? It actually happened to me. This guy just walked. We were all looking at each other going, we have a copier. We have a contract. We have a, okay, we'll use it for 3 days, but we're not going to buy it. We're not going to lease it. What? That's how they sold them.
Oh my gosh. Go on. Sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I have a long history of sales, so I'm just relating to so much of this.
Yeah, it's like PTSD, right?
It's like PTSD.
Right.
Let's talk about the elevator pitch. So I think that is definitely still taught today. It's definitely, it's like it's supposed to be a mix of your perfect customer and how you help them, right? What else? I'm trying to think of the names we have for that elevator pitch. They've just named it different things.
Yes,
You
yes, yes.
know, it's like your what am I trying? Your gosh, there was a good one. There's actually Stu McLaren, who I love. I don't know if you've heard of Stu McLaren.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing, but he's got a term for his. What is it? Darn it. Oh, I can't remember. But I think I'd like to for myself, when I go to a networking event, because I'm going to more networking events these days. I love them. I think they're so much fun.
Yeah.
I kind of just like to intuitively see what comes up. You know, you say hi to somebody and then, let it grow. The conversation grow a little bit more naturally versus having that same, 20 word thing. That's
Right. Right.
right.
Right. Yeah, I do too. And really, what I tell, because once again, what we get from people is, I don't like to talk about myself. I'm an introvert. I don't want to blah, blah. And so, what I say is when you meet someone, say, I don't believe we've met. Tell me about you. This is what I always do. I always say, tell me about you or tell me your story. And because then they will tell you about them, not what they do for a living. You know what I mean? And I had a guy once say to me, what story would you like to hear? I said, whichever one you want to tell me. I don't know you. You pick it. But you will learn about what really matters to them, what's top of mind, what lights them up, whatever it is. And that will give you so much information with them. And it's the foundation of relationship building, because that's really what we're doing. So instead of doing a pitch or a commercial, do an introduction if you have to. Say, oh, I'm Diane Helbig. I don't even say Helbig Enterprises because it's sort of obvious. I just say, business advisor and trainer. So tell me about you. You turn it to the other person. and learn. And I'll tell you, my rule of thumb is whenever, and I love networking too, and I have a lot of fun, but I go in believing no one in the room needs what I have to offer. So I'm never in sales mode. I am in relationship mode, getting to know people, figuring out where they fit in my world. If they do I want to learn more about them? Could they be a potential resource for someone I know? I like being a connector. So I'm just information gathering. I'm that's my mission.
I love that. I love that. I'm thinking of two things. One, and along those lines, I usually say a prayer or a mantra or call it what you will before I go in, which is, hey, I literally go, how can I serve? What can I bring to the table? Right? When I walk through that door to try and set aside my own selfish agenda. Right? Yeah. And I'd love the spin on it that you just said. Where did I write? Go in the room believing no one needs what I have to offer, or some. I think it was that's an approximation of what you just said.
It's
I love that
exactly.
idea. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And
Because
then
you
you're just.
won't be in that, I'm looking for dinner, it's that shark, right? And that's the other thing we were taught. You go into networking to get a client. No, you don't. No, you don't. You go to build relationships. And the people may or may not need what you have to sell, but it's not just about sell, because those relationships build your business one way or another. If you build really good business relationships, they will build your business one way or another.
Yeah. I like your questions of, so tell me about you, or tell me your story. And I think what that does too, and I'm just thinking about some interactions that I literally had with some people at some networking events where those two, where I got answers of people were telling me why they were there, right? And that's ultimately one of the things I'm interested in, is why are you here? And then maybe we have a common bond on why we're there, or things like that. So it's a natural touchstone and common ground to work from. And then I think that, so tell me about you, or tell me your story, naturally allows somebody to say, well, I'm here because, right? That's one of the obvious answers that could come from that.
You can
Yeah.
also ask them, what brings you here? How'd you get here? I mean, and you said something so valuable, which is it naturally helps you find those touch points. My whole thing about this is the most natural way to engage with people. And what people want is to buy from people they like and they trust, right? They want to do business with people they like and trust. They want to refer people they like and trust. So we have to be humans first. We have to be ourselves, not the salesperson me, just me, right? And find those connections or not. Sometimes you meet people who you don't want to ever talk to again. That's okay too.
Yes. That's quality information. So
Exactly right.
when I'm sitting in front of you and you ask me, so tell me about your perfect customer, or who do you help? I can go, well, it's not this guy
See
or
this guy
gal,
over here?
whatever. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Hey, I want to be cognizant of time. I want to tell everybody as well, of course, hellbigenterprises.com, and I'm looking over here right now at your book. Again, it's Succeed Without Selling. The more you think about selling, the less you will sell, is the tagline on that. You've got some great ratings. You've got 4.9 average 5-star reviews. And I was just reading through some of the reviews. I thought I might read them, but I just, out of time wise, I won't. But there's some great, great reviews on there from verified purchases. So clearly people are resonating with your book, and it can be found at amazon.com. So everybody watching, listening, go to Amazon and get Diane's book, Succeed Without Selling. The more you think about selling, the less you will sell. Boy, we could go on and on and on. I do want to be cognizant of time though, and maybe we'll have a round two. But before we end here, inevitably when I hit stop, you go, oh, I wish I'd have said, or I meant to talk about, or is there anything like that that comes to your mind before we hit stop here?
You know, I don't think so. What I will add one, actually, we'll add one thing when you're networking. If you do end up talking about your business or what you do, this is another rule of thumb. Talk about it as if you were talking to a 16-year-old. So I used to carry around a cardboard cutout of my daughter when I would teach this stuff because, you know, she's not five, but she's also not in the business world. So it's using regular language, regular English, not, you know, acronyms and all the jargon and stuff that no one's going to know. Just human to human. If you ran into a nephew who you hadn't seen in 10 years and he said, "So, what are you up to these days?" What would you say? You're not going to do the, "Oh no, I'm in my business suit." You know. So that's another guide to help you out with what do you say when people ask.
I love that. And I also think don't assume anything in that regard too, because every time I assume that somebody knows something and they're going to be familiar with my techno babble, you see their eyes roll back. It's like, oh my gosh, you're in the business. I thought this would make sense to you. It's like, or not, I don't want to say make sense. It's it's speaking in language that is understandable. Yeah. I think too,
English.
there's so
I
many
hear.
acronyms out there right now that get thrown around where what does that acronym mean? Oh my gosh.
knows?
Anyway. Diane, this has been awesome. I am going to hit stop and we will say goodbye offline.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Table Rush Talk Show. For resources to help you sell your stuff, go to belove.media/resources. That's belove.media/resources. And be sure to subscribe, comment, 5-star, and share. Thank you again for listening.